on 98FM and online. This is Phoenix FM.
Ronnie.
Barry are going through! Fairbrother! Yes! Well, there was a lot of pushing and shoving claimed by Harris, but I don't think it was any unfair pushing and shoving. Fairbrother has scored! He and Barry were there together, and it's 3-2 draw!
Ball does its job. Dean Cox again. This time he's in. At the second time of asking, Dean Cox takes Leighton Orient to step closer to Wembley.
Carroll.
Jonathan Tahue.
Capable of anything. Tahue! Equaliser for Leighton Orient.
We're not a city. We're not a town. We're the only one of us around, and you know where we can be found. When Saturday comes again, we'll be trying to do our best to cheer all those on who wear the vest. Whatever challenge, whatever test, we're Leighton Orient from E10. Leighton Orient from E10.
Welcome to the Orient Hour. I'm Simon Cooper, and tonight is our first end-of-season show. So tonight we'll be discussing Shrewsbury away, the retained list for May, and yes, the news today that Richie will stay. So we'll also be hearing from Dave Victor with a final Victor's view for the season. There'll be a speculation-filled rant from Matt Roper, and we'll be reflecting on Sunday night's Star Man Awards. And to discuss all of that, we're joined in the studio by our very own star man, Tony Smith. Hello, Tony.
Good evening. Back from Crete. Listened in from Crete last week, so that may give a bit
you
of perspective from 1,500 miles away.
Yeah, you do look like you've got a tan, actually, Tony.
Yeah.
And a white T-shirt on, which is enhancing this tan.
East End later, yeah.
We've got Andy Gilson here on the buttons, and he's phoning Glenn Wilkie right now. Glenn Wilkie, you are live on the radio. Hello, Glenn. It's Simon Cooper here with Tony Smith in the studio. How are you doing?
Yeah, all good, thank you. Nice to speak to you guys.
And we thought there's only one real place we could start tonight, and that is the news that at 12.05 this afternoon, Richie Wellens signed a new three-year contract as head coach of Leighton Orient. Glenn, this is the best sign of the summer already, isn't it?
We'll see, won't we? We'll see. No, of course it is. It's great news, especially after the ridiculous rumours online from some of the fan base with a Yorkshire club mentioned with alongside his name. It just settles everything down. It's great news for the club. They've got the main man committed for 3 years. The players who are out of contract are in negotiations still have been offered deals. It's settling for them. That should help with a couple of them extending their stay in E10 with the O's. It's really good news all round, and we know what he's like. You know, this is the longest job he's had in management thus far, and he's extended again, so he's really happy. And when you look at the stats, I think he's been in charge for 116 games, and he's got something like a 45-46% win ratio, which is really good considering where we were when he came in.
Yeah, I think when you look at it objectively as well, because obviously we are emotionally attached to Richie Wellens re-signing as manager, but when you look at it objectively, there would have to be a big reason for him to leave at this moment, wouldn't there? There'd have to be a big club, it'd have to be right next to home, it'd have to be a lot more money. He'd have to really, you know, actually, thinking about it, it's a good move. You can see why he's signed on again.
He's happy. He always comes across, he's always really sort of speaking well with the directors and the board and the direction the club's going in. You can only think, obviously, these negotiations have been going on for a while, I would have thought, probably before Christmas or around Christmas time. And he's been given promises about budgets for next season. And the club have always been very open with what the budget was when we moved into League One, and it was going to be a sort of average around £4 million mark, sort of mid-table budget. And they did that, and I think they overspent a little bit when everyone got a bit excited in January, and we had a few injuries. And he's obviously had them promises, so he feels happy at the club. A lot of managers with directors and board members. You see it across the country. They get promised stuff, it doesn't happen. They get unsettled, they leave, or there's turmoil in the boardroom, or clubs are in trouble. He's in a really happy place, and the fact that he signed this 3-year deal should give supporters a real sort of boost about where the club's going.
Yeah, exactly. You mentioned the speculation flying around. Tony, there was loads of speculation flying around after Richie didn't turn up at the Starman on Sunday, but did you have any doubts he wasn't going to sign?
No, I mean, he's been offered a 3-year contract. He's automatically going to say yes, and I suppose from the club's point of view, if anyone did try and entice him away somewhere along down the line, it puts them in a better position. Some of the rumours, they tend to send him over to Yorkshire, and he's fairly definitely a Lancastrian, Richie, so he had a fairly brief time at Doncaster as a manager. So, no, all in all, I'm very happy at the news. I mean, 45% win ratio at Leyton Orient, I'm sure the stats boys will be going and trying to work out who's matched that. But
thinking about it earlier on, we're going to talk about the retained list later on, Glenn, but if Richie hadn't signed up as manager, I think it would have been, I mean, I would really have worried about next season. Now I feel full of confidence.
Thing is, he still had another year on his contract, didn't he? So
yeah.
It wasn't like he was out of contract and everyone starts panicking. He had another year on his contract, so he was going to be here regardless. Yes, compensation if a club comes in, like you said, closer to home, more money, higher division, etc., etc. But I just think it stabilises everything and players, and especially with everyone, all clubs, their retained list and released players, etc., has come out this last week or since the season's been finished. They'll be talking to players, and then players and want to know, who's that manager going to be? Is he only going to be here for a year? Is he going to be, why am I going to sign a 2-year contract? If he, say we're looking at players in the Championship who are going to drop down, they're thinking, well, why would I go to Leyton Orient and sign a 2 or 3 year contract, whatever's on offer, if the manager's only going to be there for a year? This really cements that. So when they're talking to people, whether it's Martin Ling, whoever the transfer committee, whoever speaks to these players, that they know that the manager is going to be there for 3 years.
Yeah.
Depends if someone comes in and nabs him, you know, and we have an offer we can't refuse, or the other way round if we don't do too well. But it's a real settling thing, especially going into the negotiations with new players coming in, and like I said, the players who are out of contract who we've put offers to.
It's another layer of stability, isn't it? And consolidation. It's just like that next layer that will hopefully give us another grounding to build upon and kick on again next year. And Richie said in his statement that was on the website earlier, he said, "I wouldn't have signed if I wasn't excited about the future of this club. I'm looking forward to hopefully taking it to the next level. My ambition is to get to the very highest level that I can, and that will never change, and hopefully we can do that together at Leyton Orient." And just that statement of intent just bodes really well, I think, doesn't it, Glenn?
It does. Yeah, listen, he's a good manager. We know he's a good manager. He sort of stabilised us when he came in League Two towards the back end of the season after the disastrous reign of Kenny Jackett. And he done really well. Obviously, the following season, we go on and win the league. He had expectations. Me, personally, at the beginning of the season with the signings and stuff, I looked at it and I thought we were going to struggle more than we did in this league. So I was pleasantly surprised, especially as key forward players or key attacking players in our squad had long-term injuries. So God only knows what would have happened if we had them key players fit for a bigger portion of the season, where we could have come. But he's a very good player, and he's dealing with what he's got player-wise. Now, if we go out and start spending money, I don't think the board are going to be very silly with what they throw around wages wise, but let's say they did and they started saying, right, open check, we'll go and buy the players you want from sort of Championship or whatever, and he gets better quality players in, I don't think he'll struggle. I think he'll become a better manager working with better players, because as he's building up through the leagues, he's dealing with sometimes, you see he gets frustrated. When we have a bad result or we don't play so well, he's frustrated and he's very honest when he comes out afterwards and talks to the media. You give him better players to work with, more reliable players, more consistent players and better quality. Wow, our club, I can see why he signed a three-year deal, because if he's getting promises regarding budgets and stuff, he can see we will be in a championship in a couple of years, if not sooner.
Yep.
And I just think he'll come into his own with better quality players.
Yeah, Richie's clearly he's always said he's a manager with ambition, isn't he? He wants to get to the Premier League one day. That's where he wants to be. He wants to go. He didn't get there as a player. He wants to get there as a manager. And, you know, he's a young manager, and this is a good place for him to be at this moment. And it's Orient's gain that we've got Richie Wellens, and let's hope we can keep him as long as possible, and hope we kick on again next year. Tony, you got anything else to add on that?
It's when he was talking about we've got to get five or six new players in, and there was a lot of conjecture about who's the lads who've got contracts he don't really fancy. Well, there's five loan players, there's about six or seven who haven't signed yet, so I mean that's his turnover already. So I don't think it's going to be, now that Richie's staying, I don't think there's going to be a dramatic clear out, to be honest. I think it's going to be quite steady over the summer, and there'll be new players coming in to replace the ones that go out. But I can't see a huge turnover now after today's news.
Well, no, let's move on to that retain list, which came out yesterday. So first team players under contract, we got, I'm just going to list them out here. We've got Jaden Sweeney, Dan Ajai, Jordan Brown, Joe Piggott, Brandon Cooper, Sam Howes, George Moncur, Omar Beckles, Ollie O'Neill, Ethan Galbraith, Max Sanders, Jordan Graham, Rhys Byrne, Zeca Berio and Charlie Pegram. And I want to just chat about Zeca Berio a little bit here. Signed a two-year contract. He said last week he's buzzing to be here. Describes the last few weeks as a roller coaster of emotions. And he has made an impact when he's come back into the team, hasn't he? And I know the lads discussed it last week on the show, but he does feel like a real prospect for the future, doesn't he, Glenn?
Yeah, he does. He's done really well. And you know what? I'm pleased he got his chance, because could you imagine if we were sort of sitting in 7th, 4th, 8th place with still a shout at the playoffs to play for with them last sort of 3, 4 games? I can't see him getting a chance to be thrown in, obviously just purely because of his inexperience, and we would have been gone. So the fact that we sort of dropped down to a bit mid-table, we've secured, couldn't go up or down, he got his chance, and he's coming in, and he's done really, really well, and he's youthful, he's got the enthusiasm, he's got quality about him, he's strong. I really like him, and I just hope he kicks on, and he'll be gutted that the season's finished. He'll be absolutely gutted the season's finished, because it goes away for his 4-week break or whatever. Yes, he'll be training on their own, but he's just sort of got in with the first team. He's, as a young player getting in a first team squad, you feel like you've got to prove yourself, not only to the fans and yourself, but to your teammates. You want to say that I belong here. Yeah. Yes, I'm a youngster, I've got in the team, but I belong here, and I deserve to play first team football. He's had that break now, so he'll go away, he'll come back, report back for pre-season training. He doesn't know which players are going to come in the door. Will they be in the same position as what he plays in? But it's up to him now to try and kick on and build upon where he's got to in these last few games.
Yeah, and Richie's been effusive in his praise of Berio so far, and he does praise players when they do well, and he clearly likes them. Tony, what are your thoughts?
Well, when I looked down from the stand, I think it was the Cheltenham Town game when he originally got his chance, and I could see he was standing in El Mizzi's position, and my first thoughts were he got big boots there, Phil. But he has done very well. I mean, I'd love to see the two, it may never happen, but I'd love to see the two of them on the pitch. Might have to change the formation to get the fit on both in, but it'd be a lovely problem to have, I would have thought.
Yeah. He's also only 19 years old. He is very young. And Richie said, I'm really excited about what the next 3 years can bring us. We've got a group of players that are young, can improve, and the fact that we only finished 11 points off the playoffs with the number of injuries that we've had this season excites me for the future. So alongside Zek, we've got Jaden Sweeney, Jordan Brown, Ollie O'Neill, Ethan Galbraith, Charlie Pegram, all signed up, all 22 or under. And that is an exciting group of young players, isn't it, Glenn?
It is an exciting group of players, and you sprinkle that with a few experienced players in there and players sort of mid to late 20s who have played a lot of league football, you know. You give them that experience to sit alongside them because, yes, they're great. Galbraith's been amazing this year, by the way. He really shocked me how good he was. I didn't think he would be that good when he's played in midfield or played a right back. He's really surprised me, but pleasantly surprised me. These players will have a dip in form during the season if they're playing a number of games. And there'll be tough games when you're playing away from home, when you're up against it. And you just sometimes, you can't always play the pretty football. And you have to put the ball in areas just to give your defenders a break. Stuff like that. That's where the experience comes in. So they're a good bunch of good young players, but we still need to sprinkle the quality, experienced players around them. So it'll be, for me, it's key who comes in the door.
Yeah, and what those players have got, they're all technically very good, aren't they? They're technically good footballers. And you're right, we need to make sure that they've got that hardened League One going towards the Championship rather than looking down experience alongside them. Tony?
Sorry, can I just back in with what you said? You say they're good technical players. All players these days are technically good.
Yeah.
Defenders, when I played, it was, if it moved, kick it, lump the ball up forwards, it was a battle all the time, right?
Yeah.
All players these days, because of the academy set up and the systems and how the pathway comes through, technically they're all very, very good. The thing with that is game knowledge. When you're playing a game, like I just said, when to do the right thing, when to not overplay in certain areas, when you need to release it because sensing danger. And Richie's alluded to that after games this year when we've given goals away where we shouldn't have.
Yeah.
It comes down to the inexperience. But each game they play and having good experienced players alongside them, they'll only get better and better.
And having a pre-season as a collective will do them well as well, won't it?
Depends where they go and how many nights out they've got.
Tony, what are your thoughts?
Doesn't
mate?
Have many more nights. No, I mean, I was pleased that we reeled off all the young players there, but I'm pleased we made Tom Jones an offer, because if he stays, that gives us a chance to get Ethan Galbraith up the pitch. Because for me, from what I've seen, he's the best finisher in the club. And the reason, you know, we've been sound at the back this season, the reason why we haven't gone a little bit better is we haven't scored enough goals. So to get him up the pitch would be my preferred place to see him, even though he's done pretty well and he's played right back. So that was one point. There was some suggestion that Tom Jones wouldn't get an offer. So I'm pleased he has, and hopefully he'll take it.
Yeah, I think it's worth talking about Tom Jones, because, I mean, I really like Tom James. Again, he made a beautiful pass on Saturday, which we'll come to Saturday's game in a bit, but he does that. He can make a defence splitting pass. He can score a goal. He hasn't done it this year, but last season he scored three or four worldies. I see he's an asset to the team. People have said that he hasn't got the pace and maybe isn't up to League One, top of League One standard. What do you think, Glenn?
I really, really like him. I think he's, and this is going to sound controversial, every game I've been to this year when I've been working with Orient Live or when I've come to a few away games just as a supporter, he always is Mr. Consistent. He's always a 7/8/10. Unfortunately, the games where he's not had such a great game, I've not been there, so I've not witnessed that, but I read online supporters' concerns, etc., etc. But I really like him. The fact that he can play right, he can play left, he can drop in at centre half, but he's got that quality, like you just said. He sees a pass early, which not so many of them do, and he's sort of, he gets the ball to where it needs to go with the right pace on it, and it's such a hard thing to do. It's almost like a natural thing, but it's a natural thing if you've trained at doing that from a young age. And he's got that, and like Tony said, his shooting ability is unreal. Yeah. Like we see him last season scoring goals. Oh yes, he didn't get up the pitch as much this year and got them opportunities, but yes, it's a different playing style to what we played last year, different quality we're playing against, so he didn't get them opportunities. But I'm pleased he's there. He's a utility guy and he's someone you can rely upon 99% of the time.
Well, let's hope he signs his contract. What do we think about George Moncur and Joe Piggott? Now, they're both on the final year of a contract this year coming up. There's been, again, a lot of talk about both of those players. Joe Piggott hasn't really done what was hoped he was going to do this year. He's had a bit of a tough time of it. Not that he has, there's been no lack of effort, I don't think. But and George Moncur, similarly, the fans' perception is he's hot and cold, and you know he's a great player at times, and he's turned games for us. But sometimes he doesn't do it, and he seems to be unfit occasionally. Mm. There's also talk that maybe, you know, they won't be here come the start of next season. Something might happen. What do you guys think, Glenn?
I don't like to be critical of players. Let's just say that the pair of them have not had the seasons they would have hoped. I think the better one out of the two was George Moncur. He had that little purple patch of sort of six, eight games after Christmas where he started doing well. And the key thing for me with that was when he's facing the opposition's goal and he's got the ball at his feet, he's unbelievable. Mm. He sees a pass. He's very good around the box, brings people into play. When he's got his back to play, he's very safe. He likes to play the ball backwards. He likes to play the ball sideways. Listen, you can have anyone of a good quality, you can do that. But we know how dangerous he is when he's facing the other way. And the frustrating thing for me is there's been times where he can get on the half turn and start playing forward or looking to play, but he doesn't. He wants to play safe.
Yeah.
As for Piggott, didn't really see him much this season. When I did see him, I don't think, for me, he didn't fit into our system and the way we want to play. Now, a bit like Harry Smith last season, he's gone on to Sutton. I think he's been their top goal scorer this year in double digits.
Yep.
Yes, they've got relegated, but he's done well. He didn't fit into the way we wanted to play last year.
Yeah.
So he's moved on. It's not to say Piggott won't go somewhere and fit into somebody else's system and do well and score goals, but I just don't think he's right for Leighton Orient in the way we wanted to play this year. And I think, I don't like to say panic buy, but I will. I think with injuries, what happened, and we were scrambling around for a forward, I think he was probably the best of a lot of the players on offer at the time.
Yeah, it's possibly true. Tony, do you agree?
Yeah, I mean, with Piggott, I don't like to ever go at players myself because they're professionals and they give their best. He's probably, to play on your own up front, the way Leighton Orient shape up, can be a bit of a thankless task at times. I mean, there was one game I went to see this year, and I think Edwards was the man who got the nine shirt up top, and I think we counted it was 60 minutes before he got a ball on the floor, and I think we managed to win the game. So you spend a hell of a lot of time chasing the other team and shutting down defenders, and will he stay? I think he'll probably, because of what I said earlier, if there's five loanees going and there's seven people not signed up yet, I think there's going to be enough places to fill anyway. So I suspect the pair of them still will be here at next season. And we can only hope things go better for them. With George, Glenn was quite right. He had a great spell when we had a great spell there after Christmas, and the rest of the time it didn't go so well for him. But hopefully better days are ahead.
Now, we discussed Tom James, but other players under contract discussions with the club, we've got Jack Simpson, Dan Happy, Rule Soterio, Theo Archibald, Darren Prattley and Noah Phillips. Well, I don't know anything about Noah Phillips, but the other guys, I'd be happy if they all signed. What do you think, Glenn?
I believe, I don't know if this is breaking news or I should be saying this, but Simpson and Dan Happy are very, very, very close to signing contracts, I've heard this evening. That's not top secret news. Actually, I've just read that Richie Welling done an interview on BBC London, and he just said it. So
brilliant.
So I've just read that out before I came on, that Richie Wellings has said that. So
brilliant.
Simpson and Appy due to sign or very close to signing, which is really, really good. Who was the other players out of contract?
We've got Soterio, Archibald, Prattley. And Noah Phillips.
I don't know. Noah Phillips, I must say. I think the other three are, I can see why the clubs offered them contracts. Prattley, great. He plays 60 minutes when he starts, or he'll come off the bench just to calm things down or just shore things up. And his experience, he's that captain on the pitch. He's a leader. He's played at the top level. So going back to what I said about experience, he's unreal when he's there, you know, part of the championship winning side and everything else.
Yeah.
So I can see why they've done that. Ruel Sartoriu, he frustrates people.
Yep.
He frustrates, but he scores goals. I like him. I really like him. I think he's so raw. I liken him to a playground footballer.
Yeah.
He's really unpredictable. And if he's unpredictable for the supporters watching the game, he's unpredictable for the opposition defence. They don't know what he's going to do. So that is ideal for our forward line, you know. It just depends on who's getting in his ear, agents, other clubs. People will be looking at him. Heard a strong rumour, I think it was circling online, about Peterborough joining up with Hector, whatever, but who knows if that's true. I would like him to stay.
Yep.
I really would like him to stay.
I mean, he was our top scorer last season.
And you think about it, if he was just a little bit better in front of goal on certain times, he could have probably doubled what he scored.
And he's still young, isn't he? He's still improving,
and you can see how much he's improved since Richie came in, sort of two and a bit years ago.
Yeah.
He sort of stepped on. Yes, he's developing all the time, and he's getting older and more experienced, but he's changed his game slightly. And what I like about him, I always thought a few years ago he was quite a selfish player.
Yeah,
it was all about him. If he didn't score, he'd have the ump or whatever. But what I've seen this year, he's been asked to play in certain different roles, and when there's been tactical changes, and he's done it for the team with knowing that he's not going to be in and around the box to score his goals, but he's worked hard for the team, and that's testament to Richie Wellings and the coaching staff getting him to play that way, and fair play to him for being mature about it and seeing a bigger picture.
Yeah, I would say, come back to Simpson and Happy, I've been impressed with Jack Simpson when I've seen him this year, Tony, so far. He looks big. He looks like he's good on the ball. He can play a pass as well. You can see that Simpson and Happy could be our first choice centre-backs next year.
The one thing you'd say about that is that they are they're both left-sided. They're, you know, similar heights, you know, they're not this, there's a fan looking in, you look at them and think they're quite similar players. Whether that be a balance, who knows? I mean, that's up to the people who know better than us fans when they get down there. The other signings, Prattley's got to mention. I mean, people are assuming now Matt Howell's gone, I suppose, that it's going to be a player-coach type thing for Darren Prattley, but we'll have to wait to see on that one. Ruel, always wonderful as a sub, sometimes not too great when he starts, but maybe that's the same problem as I was mentioning a minute ago with the number nines being isolated for the first hour of games and hardly getting anything to their feet. I mean, I'd be quite happy if they all re-sign, like you said, but the odds are they won't all re-sign, so we'll be looking for new players.
And Glenn, it's also worth us chatting about Sol Brin, Idris and Shaq Ford. Obviously, lone players, gone back to their clubs, but what do we think about, would we want either any of those three back? I think every Orient fan would probably want Idris Elmazouni back.
Listen, until they sign, they're all dead to me. I don't even want to speak about them. No, they're all of them have done really well, haven't they, this season. Brin, yes, he's had a couple of shaky games, which has contributed to us sort of leaking goals, but I was really impressed with him. He was a hard act to follow after Vigouroux went last year, and he come in and he settled in and he's done well. Ford surprised me. He got better and better as the season went, and then he had a little bit of a dip, I thought, towards the last few games, but he's really young.
Yeah, he's 19.
To come in and score the amount of goals. Yeah, to come in and score the amount of goals and fit into the system. He sort of played in a couple of different positions up top as well. He done really well and scored some crucial goals. And then Idris, well, there's not one player who's been to Orient this season who wouldn't want him to sign.
No.
Hopefully Ipswich get their point on Saturday against Huddersfield and go to the Premier League, you know, because it would open the door for us, and we'd be in a key sort of position, I think, like first in the queue to speak to him and maybe get an opportunity. But I'm worried because how good he has been, that there's other clubs who will be like vultures hovering around, and it depends, again, like we said about Richie, location, money, stature of the club, division of the club, it all makes sort of difficult decisions on the player when it comes to negotiation and where you want to be. He loves the club, surely, of course he does. He wouldn't have been here for another season, but someone comes in paying you big money and you think, not you're better than Leyton Orient or League One, but if someone comes in from a higher division and you've got the opportunity to play there for the first time in your career, you know, why wouldn't you do it? Yeah. So if we can get him, I think on a permanent deal, that would be a better signing for me than Richie Wellens.
And it's also worth mentioning, obviously, Rob Hunt and Adam Thompson have been let go. Adam Thompson hasn't really featured this year, but I mean, everyone said what a great professional he is, what a good, great presence he is in the dressing room, all of that. He had a real impact last year as well. But Rob Hunt, feels like Rob Hunt was one of Richie's favourites, and it feels like it's, you know, a bit of a shame that he's gone, but I think we can probably know who Richie was referring to when he was asking players to do things, but they just couldn't do them the other week. Tony, do you agree?
Yeah, I mean, start off with Tomo. Did brilliantly the one game he was called in when we were short. I think it was Doncaster, and he was at the back playing with Jordan Brown. Clean sheet, did really well. Absolutely all the best to the man in his future career, and was probably suited better in the days of Kenny Jackett when he had the chance to play in the back three, but and has probably fallen out of favour a little bit because of that. But all the best to the man. Rob Hunt, never let us down when he came in my opinion, but he's been decided that his time is finished here, and I think he'll get a job, if not at League One level, and I certainly expect to see him at League Two.
Yeah, personally, I think Rob Hunt's, I don't think he's had that bad a season. I know he's had some stick from people, but what do you think, Glenn?
I like him, and I can't remember who we played at home, probably a month or two before the end of the season. It's Rackham at Grangedale, and he was unbelievable. It was the best game I've ever seen him have in an O-shape. Played left back. Superb. He was so tenacious. His passing was good. He was getting forward. He was linking up with, I forget who came on now, on the left side in front of him. He was linking up. He was overlapped, getting crosses in. Done really well. And I thought, wow, I didn't think he could play that well. But then he's been Mr. Steady at times. But the manager and the coaching staff are with him every day. They see what his capabilities are and what he's restricted at and the way they want to play. Not necessarily if the player is any good or not sometimes. I know it sounds stupid, but it's what their vision is, how they want their team to play and what they require of the players. And sometimes players can't do that. We just spoke about Piggott. I don't think he fits into the way Richie wants to play. I know he doesn't, because he would have played a lot more games. But it goes the same for Rob Hunt. Sometimes players can't always do what's required of them. I think he's a very good player, a very sort of steady, consistent player. I was surprised he didn't get offered a deal.
Yeah.
But I don't have any doubts that he'll go on and he'll get a club, and I think he'll get snapped up pretty sharpish.
Well, thank you very much for joining us tonight, Glenn. We're going to let you go. I know it's your tea time. And we're going to move on to have a listen to Victor's view when Andy can get it lined up. I'm going to fill some air here. Dead air is a crime on the radio, Tony.
Well, I have to talk about the loan.
It's great news that Richie Wellens has committed his future to the O's. Richie's passion, his tactical knowledge, outstanding communication skills has transformed a struggling League Two side into one capable of competing with the best in the third tier. Richie is an ambitious man. He expects the best from everyone at the club, including himself. It's going to be an important and exciting summer. At the weekend, Danaji's strike ensured that the O's finished a positive season in style. And I suspect, like the majority of the faithful making their way back from Shrewsbury, we wondered what might have been achieved had Orient's talented striker been available for the majority of the campaign. This was, of course, a season when injuries were such a significant factor, and it continued till the very end. The O's not even able to fill the bench at the New Meadow. An 11th place finish under the circumstances, a satisfying way to mark Orient's return to the third tier. Many have said that next season League One will be tougher, and I tend to agree. Although Portsmouth and Derby are two massive clubs, and it'll be interesting to see whether Bolton can join them, and which of Birmingham, Plymouth, Sheffield Wednesday and Blackburn will slip out of the Championship at the weekend to join Rotherham and surely Huddersfield in League One. Each have the resources required to stage an immediate return, whilst Wrexham, Stockport, together with Mansfield, will have far larger budgets than the clubs they replace. But I think it's the renewed strength and ambition of the likes of Wigan, Reading and Charlton that will ensure a stronger and more competitive division. So time to reflect on the past few months. I'll start with my young player of the year, Ethan Galbraith. Although it's to Zech Obiero's credit that had he played early in the season, I think he definitely would have been in contention. On Saturday, we saw Galbraith's vision, skill and composure. Such a gifted and exciting young player. Ethan took his goal so well. What a fabulous assist from Tom James. And it was the former Manchester United youngster who set up Planajai with an excellent pass. There are some outstanding contenders for the goal of the season. Ollie O'Neill's curler against Cheltenham. Theo Archibald at Bolton. Shaq Ford at Portsmouth. The move that led to Rob Hunt's goal at Sixfields, tactically and technically brilliant. But for me, the most memorable goal was Will Soteriao's dramatic winner on that wonderful night against Northampton. An important, precise assist from Jaden Sweeney. It was a moment under the lights at Brisbane Road when anything felt possible, including a push for the playoffs. My save of the season, Souls at Portsmouth. It wasn't the best penalty from Bishop, but Bryn did well to prevent the club that went on to be champions from getting back into the game. The victory at Fratton Park, without doubt the most impressive result of the campaign, but for me, the performance at Oxford was the most complete. The most disappointing moment came at Burton Albion. Jordan Graham was starting to demonstrate his outstanding ability, his injury a significant one. Let's hope he and Theo are able to make full recoveries. At their best, they'll be a potent force. My player of the season, Idris Elmazouni. I think he was one of, if not the very best in his position in the league last season. His influence definitely missed in the closing stages of the campaign. One of the most exciting developments of the season was the increase in the number of younger supporters captured by the magic of the O's. The energy, passion and atmosphere they generate home and away could be an important factor in Orient's future. I'd like to express my thanks and appreciation to Nigel Travis and the board. Our club in safe hands. Strategic decisions such as the investment that took place last summer in the playing surface proving their worth. Plans for the training ground and improvements to the East Stand demonstrate the priorities of people who care and understand for our club. We have come a long way, but I believe the best is yet to come. I'm not surprised that Adam Thompson and Rob Hunt have not been offered contracts. I think injuries meant that we didn't see the best of Adam, who always gave his all, as did Rob, who played such an important part in our title-winning side. I wish them both well, and I'll be following their future careers with interest. It'll be interesting to see how Darren Pratley's role develops. Let's hope Martin Ling is able to bring in the players at which he wants and have the strength and resilience required to deliver the high-intensity football that the O's boss demands. I'm looking forward to July. I've already booked my hotel in Edinburgh. Hearts v the O's will be an emotional occasion. I'm sure there'll be a large contingent of travelling fans to ensure a special day. Have a good summer and up the O's.
Thank you, Dave, for Victor's view there. So let's move on to Saturday's game against Shrewsbury Town. So we finished the season with a 3-1 away victory. Richie Wellens handed management over to Matt Harold as a thank you for the last couple of years on his staff. And he names Howes in goal, James, Beckles, Simpson and Sweeney as a back four. Pratley, Galbraith, Brown and Iberio in midfield. And just to make things interesting for the commentary team, he named Dan Ajay and Dan Aduajai up front. Tony, it was a nice way to end the season, wasn't it?
It was. It was positive from the start. First 20 minutes, two goals, totally dominant. I know the commentator was saying something along the lines of we could be going for a hatful here, but I thought, no, it's late in Orient. We don't do hatfuls, do we, really? But the game was seen out as a win. A couple of people given an opportunity. Obviously, Howes went in goal. Got a bit of stick in the socials, which I thought was a bit strange because he did a reasonable job as far as I could see. Dan Ajay proving again that really he's best going down that left side rather than the faithful number nine position up top. got his goal well going down the side there, and everybody's been talking about the second goal with Tom Jones going forward, keeping it on the ground and picking his spot, and Ethan Galbraith flicking in a lovely goal. So all in all, went quite well, I think, really.
Yeah, it was. There was, like you say, some nice Orient moves. Wellens ball in action once again. Abirio instrumental in that first goal. Yeah, and those lovely passes there from James, and one again from Galbraith. They were defence splitters, weren't they, Tony?
Yes, I mean, it's all very well shouting forwards from the sidelines, but I always think it's a bit unfortunate when the guy who's got the ball gets moaned at for knocking it back, because the reason he's knocking it back is he can't see a ball to go forward with rather than kick it to the other team. Yeah. So, yeah, the bloke with the ball tends to get the stick from the crowd, which I always think is a bit unfair, but we managed to get the ball forward in a timely and positive fashion to people's feet, and that's what happens, you win the game.
Dan Ajai missed a couple of chances, but he took his goal very well, didn't he?
I mean, yeah, the header was the proverbial easier to miss one, wasn't
he? Missed
it?
One of those. What home game was that? He missed a really. He missed a quite easy header, didn't he?
Yeah, sorry, I went away from the mic there, but he was leaning back. It was a corner. It was a last minute corner, yeah. Wasn't it? And we could have got a point out of it if he managed to get it under the bar.
Right, but Daniel.
That was actually a harder chance, I think, the one that was the home game. Yeah. He just went for it too soon. It got on the top of his head and hit the bar rather than the net. But we'll forgive him that. He looks a good player to me.
Yeah. So you practice your heading over the summer, please.
Yeah,
Dan,
that's right. Forehead down. Yeah, right.
I think maybe we'll listen to Dave Victor's interview with Matt Harrold after the match, please.
Matt, thanks for joining us. Congratulations. A lovely way to sign off.
Yeah, I couldn't have asked for much more. I thought it was a really strong performance. Obviously, we had to pick a team. We couldn't field the whole bench. So again, we're hamstrung with injuries. But I thought the lads showed. The one thing I asked was, go out, look like a team and play for the fans who have come a long way and travelled for you all season. So you can't ask any more. I think we could have scored more goals than we did, so it's given some excitement. So in terms of what I've asked from today, it's unbelievable. So really, really proud. Great moment to end like this for me on a personal level. But I think the season's been really successful. I think the manager's obviously maximised everyone within the group, and we've finished in a really positive spot. I think there's always an element of what if, but I think you end up where you end up sometimes, you deserve to. So,
three well-taken goals, but as you say, there could have been so many more.
Yeah, I mean, I think Matt Porter said we hit the bar four times. You obviously had Shaq's weldy, Dan's header, Ethan's gone through the second time, he's got a score. So, yeah, I thought it was exciting. We looked a real threat on the break. We obviously changed shapes, something unusual because of just the personnel. And that worked well. They then changed and had some momentum. So I think it got a bit dicey by the end, but I thought we were full value for the win with the chances that we got.
Finished 11th because of Wickham's win today against Charlton Athletic, but it's a positive season overall.
Massively positive. I think obviously you take into account all the factors we've spoke about before, but I think it's a really positive season. I think the players would have learnt a lot. I would have thought everyone at the club would have learnt a lot, and I think it's where you go from here now. It's going to be a strong division next year, but I think we're in a good place. I think everything's really positive, so it's one to look forward to with excitement.
An early start. Over 600 made the journey, and they're glad they came.
Yeah, and that was the big message today. I think, I mean, how do you motivate a team that's, you know, we've been safe, we haven't been playing anything for a few weeks. So how do you motivate them? And as I said, I wanted them to look like a team. So I wanted to play like they were together and fighting and show an aggressiveness, even though there's nothing to play for. And then play for the fans who had travelled all season and travelled a long way. So I think they've given them some good memories and moments near the end. And yeah, it was one I enjoyed as well.
I think it's 5 years to the day that Leighton Orient got back into the Football League. I think the most important promotion of all. And you were there. It's been a remarkable 7 years for you, hasn't it, Matt?
Yeah, honestly, couldn't have gone any better. I remember when my agent rung me and said Orient were interested, and I jumped at the chance. And I suppose it couldn't have really gone any better. There's been like some unbelievable highs, some lows in there as well, but yeah, I couldn't ask for more, and just a really great day for me.
You played a big part in that journey. How far do you think this club can go now?
I think the club's in a really good place. I think they obviously need to get things right this summer. I think obviously the manager's massive for the future of the club, and I think there's a lot of belief within the group and from above that they've got the right people in place to grow it and to build it. It's going to be hard. There's going to be times where you're going to have to show patience. But all in all, I think if you look at the journey we've been on so far, there hasn't been too many gone wrong, things gone wrong. So you just, the right people are in place, so I'm sure we can take it forward.
That you'll be here this week, signed and committed his future to the club, and it's a young squad, isn't it?
Yeah, young, hungry, energetic. And I think you could see that today. There's still lots to work on. It's a tough league for kids, you know. As you could see by the end, when they're putting pressure on you, and we've got a really young team out, it can be tough. So you need the right blend. But I think we've got young, hungry players who want to improve. Every day matters. They want to work at their game. They want to improve. So that's really important.
And personally, Matt, those 7 years, two promotions, two titles, there's not many Leighton Wimps players and coaches that can say that. What are your personal highlights?
I think personal highlights would be... So, obviously, winning the leagues, but I think the big thing for me was, with about 2 months probably to go at a National League season, I didn't really see myself staying. I thought my playing time was limited. But I just, made a decision to kind of do everything I can to finish the season strong. I didn't allow myself to kind of be negative anyway, just keep going. And I think it just shows what you can do when you have that mindset. So kind of finished the season that year, scoring some important goals and having some important moments. And then I've gone on and on. And, I suppose I'm quite proud of the fact I've just kind of attacked every role I've been in and managed to be half successful at the same time. Met a load of great people along the way. You know, I've got some relationships and some people I'll be friends for life with. And I think they're the main things. Like, it's the moments, isn't it? I talk about it all the time. I get taken the mickey out of, but these are the moments you want, and they're the ones that will stay with me.
Absolutely. And you finish in style, Matt. Congratulations. Thank you for all you've achieved.
Cheers.
With the O's, and we wish you every success in the Premier League.
No. Thank you, Dave. No, I really appreciate it. Cheers, guys. Cheers.
Thanks, mate.
The Ginger Pele there, talking about our 11th place finish, saying we finished in a really positive spot. And we did, particularly when after the match, Dan Ajoy said he's building up a bit of chemistry with Ethan Galbraith. He said that in his interview after the match. And you know what? If those two could build up a bit more chemistry, that bodes well for next year, doesn't it?
That'd be good. I mean, currently, I've obviously talked about Dan Ajoy going up the left and Galbraith's playing on the right, so maybe you'd have to do a little bit of a shifty round there to make that happen, but I like the idea.
Ethan, he also mentioned in his interview with Dave Victor, he feels like he's gained some experience this year. He's gained experience with duels off the ball and his game management. That's kind of what Glenn was talking about earlier. That's what we need our youngsters to have experience with and improve on next year.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think Galbraith's where he's been before as much game time as he's had this season. I mean, he must have played at least two-thirds of the games from the start.
Yeah.
And he has come on, it's a already old phrase, he's come on a bundle. And hopefully, he's contracted to us. I mean, he's the sort of guy someone's going to be looking to pick up, but hopefully he'll stick with us. And
because he was at Salford, wasn't he, last season?
Yeah, he went from the Manchester United playing academy to Salford. Was obviously just the connection there, but Richie fancied him and got him along, and well done, Richie.
Well, talking of Ethan Galbraith, this is the Ethan Galbraith Appreciation Night tonight. He also won Players' Player of the Season, Manager's Player of the Season, and Supporters Club Starman of the Season at the Starman Awards on Sunday, and it's hard to disagree with those choices, isn't it?
I love praising him. I love praising players. I mean, obviously, there's other guys who've done well this season, but I think he just about took it. Obviously, we're quite used to Elmes' standard of play every week, so that probably counted against him getting it again this season. But he would have been the other person up there with him for me.
Yeah. And Young Player of the Year went to Shaq Ford, only 19. His birthday is on Sunday, same day as mine, actually.
Oh.
Just 20 years difference or so. but he's got talent, hasn't he? And would you have him back, Tony?
Oh, I would. I mean, he got stuck in the number nine position to start with and couldn't do much there. He got caught offside a lot and then discovered he was a right winger once injuries meant we had to find a man to play there, and score goals from that from out wide as well, which is important. Because if you only got the number nine figure up there, people have got to chip in from around the team. So, and he's done so. I would have him back. He's probably a bit young, and they'll probably look for another team to take him to. But yeah, I'd have him back.
And also honourable mentions to Adam Thompson for his award as community player and Rainbow O's award, and Rob Hunt for winning the goal of the season after a 13-pass Wellens ball finish against Northampton. Do you remember that goal, Tony?
I do remember the goal. It's nice to pass the ball about and have something on the end of it. Great stuff. Good
and
memory.
Player of the season went to Rule Soterio. Talk to me. Now, that again, anything with Rule divides the fan base, doesn't it? I just think Richie likes him.
That was player of the season, yeah, from the supporters or the manager? Or
do you know what? I don't know. It just says player of the season.
Well, I've already said about Ruel, he's wonderful. He's wonderful when he comes on a sub and possibly doesn't do so well when he starts. But I'd keep him. He's a good player.
Shall we have a listen to Matt Roper and see what he's been ranting about this week?
So, there we go. 23-24 done and dusted, and what a nice end to the campaign to come away with all 3 points, and by all accounts a pretty resounding victory. It was a fitting tribute to Matt Harrold in the dugout, and of course I'm sure you would all join me in wishing him the very best down on the south coast. No sooner, however, had the referee's whistle for full time gone, the departing 3-point haul was tainted as silly season started far earlier than usual, when good old social media lit up with rumours about head coach Richie Wellens. Apparently not at Shrewsbury, when he actually was, coupled with a non-appearance for the supporters club Starman Bash, meant that it was a done and dusted deal. He was off to South Yorkshire. Oh, please, give me strength. Look, we all know that the footballing world, particularly in the close season, is awash with rumours. But O's fans, not all, I hasten to add, come on, get a bloody grip. Just because we don't publish our retained list 5 minutes after a final ball has been kicked, and the manager doesn't turn up in a collar and tie for a supporters club end of season do, does not mean he is off. And the speculation surrounding such is both stupid and quite possibly way off the mark anyway. Some have pointed to a couple of bookmakers installing him as a very short price favourite. I have said this before countless times and will repeat. These types of markets can be ridiculously skewed. Whilst you never see a poor bookie, in markets such as this, it takes just a couple of even small bets on the same outcome to shift prices to unbackable favouritism. If a bookmaker sees even just 3 separate bets of a tenner on Wellens to be installed at Oakwell, or whatever they call it these days, they will run for cover, believing punters have insider knowledge, and adjust their price accordingly. Hence, 4-1 on. Okay, I'm not saying it doesn't then always mean a manager isn't the favourite and maybe move. But for anyone who's never had a punt or doesn't understand analytics and bookmakers' pricing, then it's the summer and have a day off for crying out loud. Richie, as I understand it, is in well-advanced talks with the club about his extension to his contract, and it's been mentioned in public before that he is moving, or at least attempting to move, his family to Essex. Now, nothing is certain in football these days, but our charismatic gaffer is not that thick to up sticks with his nearest and dearest, move to Essex, only to book the same removal truck the very next day to head back up the M1. I suppose I shouldn't get too irked by all of this. It's modern-day football. No doubt the next 3 months will be filled with further cowpat stories about players signing and not signing, rumours that Wellens is off to Bayern Munich if Harry Kane doesn't get the Champions League under his belt, or that he's off because he's fallen out with Martin Ling over extending Joe Piggott's contract to 2028, although that might do it, and that we have secured a site for our new ground, being Asda's on the Leighton Mills estate, because they don't like the rent they are paying. Great, a site close enough to home, but don't worry about the 20 other retailers there. I mean, it's hardly a problem, is it? I've mentioned this before. In the summer, or last summer I should say, I tracked every rumour I could find about who we were meant to be signing. These brilliant pieces of deduction came from rumour and transfer social media sites and Orient fans. Of the 23 names mentioned, we ended up with one. One correct prediction out of 23. You do the maths. And that was only mentioned 90 minutes before the person actually signed. Do you see what I mean when I say I pay very little attention to this crazy, often made-up rubbish? At the end of the day, what will be, will be. Look, it's likely Wellens won't be here in approximately 3 years anyway. You find me a manager that's done 5 years in the same job these days. We know he's hot property, and yes, you can bet your bottom dollar on the fact there will be approaches for him over the summer, but that doesn't mean he's out the door suitcase packed. O's fans, it's been a pretty decent season. Sit back, breathe, relax, and let's see how we fare over the summer as we continue to try and climb the footballing roller coaster that is the EFL. On that, the club, of course, has set out the retain list. Very few shocks, to be honest. The hard work begins in earnest now, bringing back any loanees we may want, mentioning no Idrisses, names, trying to possibly move on a couple of at least that are under contract. My money would be on Piggott, Moncur and Bex, and attempting to secure those that are offered as we go for the usual merry-go-round of will Dan Happ and Ruel Sotiriou sign, and it's likely they'll be here, despite perhaps the best efforts of unscrupulous agents telling their clients that the grass is greener. Add to that a sprinkling of 4 to 5 new names, and if we can bring in 5 Ethan Galbraiths in their respective positions, then let's make sure Nigel Travis informs the council to shut Leighton High Road for the open-top bus parade travelling to the Championship at the end of next season in what would be a historic return 43 years after the demise in 1982. Up the mighty O's!
Thank you there, Matt, for just to confirm, that was recorded before we heard about Richie Wellens. But thank you very much, Matt, there for your rant of the week. Tony, I remember sitting here just before Christmas, I think, saying I'd be happy with a mid-table finish and a little flirt with the playoffs. And that's exactly what happened. What do you think we need to do to be more than flirting with the playoffs next year?
Well, I think I sat here in August and said 15th, so I'm more than pleased with the way it turned out. We've got to try and sort. I think we're fairly sound defensively. We've got to try and work out a way of scoring a few more goals, I think, if we want to get a little bit better. We shouldn't get too worked up about the playoffs and not being in them, because it's only a 1 in 4 chance if you get there. So, you know, you're looking to really go up with the big boys at the top couple of positions. And we'll have to score a few more goals to do that, but we'll see how it goes.
What would you be happy with next year, Tony?
What would I be happy with? A little bit better than this year. I'm not sure that we've got that much depth in terms of quality. We've got a lot of people who can play, but I'm sure Richie would get other people in if he could. Ninth.
Yeah. Ninth for Tony. All right, well, I'd be happy with sixth. Well, great. Tony, thank you very much for joining us tonight.
Absolute pleasure, and thanks for all the encouragement I received at the Sports Club throughout the year, and keep listening.
Thank you very much, and up the O's. But sadly comes again. We're trying to do our best to cheer all those on who wear the vest. Whatever challenge, whatever test, we're laying our reason from a 10. We're laying our reason from a 10. This is our club, we are proud. So sing it up and sing aloud. We were formed in 1881, the Clapton Orient had so begun. The old story on it runs, we're Leighton Orient from E10. Whatever challenges come our way, the Orient faithful are here to stay. We will live to fight another day, we're Leighton Orient from E10. Leighton Orient from E10, yeah. We're Leighton Orient from E10. Leighton Orient from E10. This is our club, we are proud. So sing it up and sing it loud. We're not a city, we're not a town. We're the only one of us around. Yeah, you know where we can be found. When Saturday comes again, we'll be trying to do our best
On the hour, across Brentwood and Billericay. This is Phoenix FM News.